So hopefully everyone got a Bible. If you don't have one, make sure you grab one, and or your phone, take it out, but make sure it's not a distraction, okay? To you hearing the word of God. Earlier Kevin brought up about heaven. I was preaching earlier this morning at Hope Church here, and it was really awesome that God used that opportunity to share with His people here in this church in the morning. And my sermon actually was on John chapter 14 and talking about how to live the life in between. Kind of, we got caught in between as Christians that Jesus, we put our faith in Jesus, but on the one hand, we're still living on earth, but on the other hand, we're looking forward to heaven and we wonder how come Jesus doesn't just take us away, which life would be a whole lot easier. I think those of us who are a little older, or have seen, or experienced a little more brokenness in this world, we wonder, God, if you take all of us away faster, life would be a little easier. And why didn't He do that? And the reason why I kind of tie this into the intro for this sermon is because this book actually addresses a whole lot about that question. Because the whole last week we talked about how the main purpose of this book was the Apostle John writing to his audience, this is one of his last letter to the church. And he wanted them to understand that they can have eternal life. That they can not just have it, they can experience it. Now, when we use the word eternal life, we use it at church quite often. But I wonder, what do you think of when you think of the word the phrase eternal life? I just off the top of your head, just think about it right now. When I say the eternal life, what comes to your mind? You don't have to yell it out. I just want you to give some thought to that. What does eternal life look like? Like, what do you think of when you think of eternal life? And I think for many of us, as you're thinking about it, maybe some of you are like, nothing. But for some of you, you're thinking heaven. But when we look through the first John, we see that eternal life is not just about the future. It has everything to do with us right now, today. In fact, the moment since we start putting our faith in Jesus, that eternal life has already started. And that is the point of John, the Apostle John, teaching us, writing to his audience, and subsequently God used his word to teach us. And for the next 10, not 9 messages, it will be on through the whole book of 1 John. But before I do that, I want to do a thorough challenge to all of us. One of the things I was challenged as I was listening to another series on 1 John in preparation for our sermon series was that the preacher was challenging his congregation to memorize. Now, I know some of you guys memorize verses or verse, gnosis, or words from the scripture, but he was challenging his congregation to memorize the entire chapter. Some of us in home group were wrestling with this concept of memorizing scripture, how important it is. We all say, yeah, like, it's a great idea. It helps us to meditate. But at the end of the day, it's just so hard. Right? The older, some of us older we get, it's like, oh, it's harder to memorize. It's like, that's a children thing. That's a VBS thing to do. That's a children ministry thing to do. But in reality, God naturally, in fact, you read through scripture, it never tells you to just read the scripture. It tells you to meditate. And so that's the challenge I want to throw to you, because I'm not going to challenge us to memorize the whole book of 1 John, even though last week we read it through within 20 minutes. We read through the whole 1 John. But what I would like to do is this, to challenge you to memorize the first chapter of 1 John. Now, you take a look at first chapter of 1 John right now, you're like, whoa, that is impossible. But if you notice, there are only 10 verses in the whole chapter. So now you might not be able to memorize all of it today. I'm hoping, and I bet that you could be able to memorize one verse a week. One verse a week for 10 weeks straight. By the end of that, we will be memorizing the whole 1 John of chapter 1. Last week, some of you broke a personal record, read through an entire book of the Bible. Right? So we're going to keep breaking records for each one of you. We're going to memorize a whole chapter of the Bible. Okay? We're going to try to do that every single week. So just want to give you a little heads up. And along the way, I will give us a hand how to memorize it. But honestly, there's nothing too difficult to memorize. It's just a matter of repetition and remembering and meditating on the Word of God. So if you have it in front of you every single day, put it in your bathroom, on your mirror right there. Every time you brush your teeth, memorize it. You know, look at it, meditate on it, put it on your phone as a reminder 5 times a day. Pop up, notification, look at the verse, study, and that's how we memorize. But that's my challenge to you, but not only to you. I'm submitting myself to that as well. I'm doing my best. Hannah heard me yesterday trying to memorize some of the verses already. So I'm trying to get a head start since I started this for you guys. But hopefully we can do that. I think it will be beneficial for us as we walk through the whole book of 1 John. Okay. So today, in the prologue, in the beginning of 1 John, we're just going to cover four verses. These four verses, as Stevens was reading, perhaps it is very clumsy. Not him, okay? The passage seems kind of clumsy. Like, if you read through it, I just want to read it for you again. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed, have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. That life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with his Son, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. First read of this passage is very challenging because there's a lot of phrases that got repeated, but then it seems like he's repeating himself for no reason. And one of the things I want us to do before I even dive in the passage is to help you kind of declutter this passage. Because if you look at your Bible, you look at verse 2, before verse 2, there's a little dash, right? Well, your Bible's got a dash, most of you, yeah? And then at the end of verse 2, there's another dash. These dashes are important because verse 2 is actually what is called in a literal device called parenthesis, kind of like the bracket that you have. What a parenthesis does is this: it gives extra information. Like, think of John was writing this letter from the beginning. He doesn't write verse one. He just write the letter first sentence, and then all of a sudden he got caught up in thinking this thought that he needs to define more. So he kind of wrote about this a little bit, and then went back to his original thought. In fact, if you take out verse two, you will not find a verb until a verb that is a verb, an action that is in the present until you get to verse 3. Every verb up to that point is all in the past. Something I've heard, something I've seen, something I've observed, something I've touched. And then you go to verse 3, what we have seen, again, he said, what I've seen and heard. We also, the first active present verb that is happening is what? Proclaim, or some for some of you it might be declare, right? Declaring, proclaiming. John has something to tell his audience. He has one message and one message only that he will continue to discuss, continue to make his point on. The one message that he has. So, in order for you to get a better sense of this passage, what I want to kind of move it around a little bit. I'll move verse 3 up as verse 1. And I want to read it to you. This is what what the Apostle John is really talking about. He says this: what I have seen and heard, we're declaring to you, verse 3. And then now I'm going to jump back to verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed, what we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The Apostle John wants to declare to his audience and also to you and I this important message about the word of life. That's the first one I want to make today, is that God, can you go to the next slide, please, Martin? God wants us to experience eternal life. God wants all of us to experience eternal life. The word of life, that's what John was focusing about. And you will see this phrase over and over and over again in the rest of the first John, because it is that important. And it is important for John because we saw from the passage, verse 1, from the get-go, that it was something he has felt, he has touched, he has seen, he has laid his hands on. It is important to John. And it is so important that in his last days, in his life, he decided to write a letter about that so that it can be passed on to generations and generations of believers, including you and I today. Eternal life is what John wants for his people. Eternal life is what God wants for everyone. But then the question we need to ask ourselves is this: what is this eternal life? I asked you the question earlier, what comes to mind when you think of eternal life? Many of us, you generally think of eternal life as heaven, something of future. something that I get to have later. But then when we look at this passage, when we look later on in this book, we see that eternal life is so much more than that. Can you go to the next slide, please? Eternal life is so much more than just a place in heaven. Eternal life ultimately is about the person Jesus Christ. Eternal life is not just a thing to have. It is not a ticket to a destination. It is not a vacation spot. It is not just an experience. Eternal life ultimately has to do with Jesus Christ. See, the reason why I brought it up to you about the verse 2 being an explanation, a kind of side comment, like think of it like on TV. If you ever watch sports, there is a commentator about what's going on in the game. Like John was writing this first paragraph of his letter, then he kind of paused and find himself writing more about this eternal. What is this eternal life? And he explained in verse 2. Let me read it for us. That life was revealed. He kind of picked up on that word life, eternal life was revealed. And here is where he kind of flushed it out and say, this is eternal life, okay? So that life was revealed and we have seen it and we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. The first time when I was studying this passage, one of the urge I have as I was reading this was that every single word that was the word that there, or another version is which, I think in NIV or ESV, I almost feel like it should be changed to who. Like it's almost like who was from the beginning, who we've had heard, whom we have seen, whom we have observed, whom we have touched. Because almost by the sense of the letter, you feel like John is not talking about a set of things. He's not talking about a scroll. He's not talking about like a stack, a book of the word. He's talking about someone. A person, someone he had touched, someone he had a meal with, someone he has seen, someone he's lived with, someone he has relationship with. That is what eternal life ultimately is about. It is not just about learning a set of doctrines. It is not just imitating being what a Christian behavior is supposed to look like. It is not just a bunch of do's, a bunch of don'ts. Eternal life ultimately is about the person Jesus, having relationship with this person named Jesus. That's why John gave this explanation and want to proclaim to the people that this person that I've met, that I've done life with, I've seen with my own eyes, that died on the cross, raised from the dead, this person is really, really important. He changed my life, and I know that he will change your life as you put your faith in him. That is what eternal life ultimately is about, the person of Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Next slide, please. Sorry. Can you go to the next slide? Do I have it on there? No, okay. I don't have it on there. Sorry. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. You can flip up a few pages over. Here's what it says. The only way for us to have life, eternal life, I'll start with chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in who? His Son. The one who has the Son has life. The one who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Eternal life is to have the Son. When you have the Son of God, you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You have real life. But when you don't have the Son of God, you don't have real life. You don't have eternal life. Again, John chapter 17, correlating with 1 John, the same author about the same topic. He said, you know what? He declared, Jesus, this is eternal life. To know God the Father and to know his Son Jesus. That's what it means to have eternal life. The question then is, why is it so important we know Jesus? Like, why is Jesus the central figure of eternal life? John gave us two reasons. The first reason is this. Can you go back to the slide, please? Is that Jesus is God. I know many of you are thinking, man, duh, Ben. I'm coming to church all the time. I know Jesus is God. But Jesus is God from the beginning. You go back to 1 John chapter 1. Here's what he says. From the very get-go, verse 1. What was from the beginning? See, Jesus Christ did not just show up on the scene in the middle of history and just said, I'm God. In fact, when John was writing this verse, there's echoing back to the very beginning of the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. when God created the whole world. And guess what? Who was there? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was there before any of us was created. Jesus was involved in the creation process. Jesus is God from the get-go, before there was even earth, before there was even time. But not only Genesis chapter 1, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 8, it talks about wisdom. Again, it was associated with Jesus, that the wisdom was there in the beginning of creation. Again, Jesus has always been God. And then again, we turn to John chapter 1. Familiar passage for many of us. The Word was with God. The Word was God. You see the resemblance there? The Word of life, the Word of God. He was there from the beginning. He was with God the Father. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is God. And John said, this is so important. Why eternal life is about Jesus Christ? Because it's always been about Jesus Christ. The whole world is about Jesus Christ. Read Colossians. Everything that we have, every creation points to Jesus as being King. But here's the amazing thing. That not only because Jesus is about all, he's the Almighty, he's the great I Am, he deserves all the glory. The amazing thing John points out here is that God decided to come down on earth. That Almighty God, who was there in creation, decided to show up on earth. You go back to 1 John chapter 1. In that parenthesis, in verse 2, where he explained more about eternal life, he said that life was revealed, was manifested. It was shown up. At the end of verse 2, it was end on that too, that the eternal life was with the Father and was revealed to us. It was shown up. The Son of God, who had no obligation to have to come down on earth. But we all know why he came down on earth, don't we? The reason why he came down on earth is because of you and me. He came down on earth because of our sins. He didn't have to. And yet this Almighty God, the all-powerful God, humbled himself to be hung on the cross, to be mocked, to be ridiculed, manifest himself, to show himself where John literally had touched, observed on the cross, seeing him dying right before him. 3 days later, wondering where he went when there was empty tomb, when Jesus, with resurrected body, showed up and said, I'm resurrected. That's the Jesus who showed up in this world for the sake of your sin and my sin. That's the eternal life that he wants us to have. Isaiah chapter 53. I just want to read to you. This is a prophecy made about Jesus. Why is Jesus such a big deal? Jesus is such a big deal because he's God, and yet he's the God who are the incarnate man on earth to show love to her. He took, go back to the slide please. Yeah. It says he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment, and who consider his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living. He was struck because of my people's rebellions. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, but he was with the rich man at his death because he had done in no violence and had not spoken deceitfully. Yet the Lord, here's the part, yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. Think about the love that the Almighty God willing to show, to demonstrate for sinful people like you and me. That's what eternal life is about. It is about the love of God show up in bodily form. We talked about last week, there are people in during 1 John, and that when John was writing this letter, they were saying that, no, Jesus is not the real body. He's just using some human body, kind of get in there like a ghost, and then he disappeared afterwards. But yet that is not the case. Jesus literally came and died on the cross. He died and was in the grave, and he rose again. That ought to matter to you and I, because we don't believe in a God. This eternal life that we have is not about some legend that was made up over time. It was not about some dream, some big story that was made up that was not real. It was about a reality that happened. You know, by this time, when John wrote this letter, all 11 of the other apostles have been dead. History has said that most of them died because of martyrdom. They got killed because of they believe in Jesus. And now John is the last man standing, being an exile in this home. He knows his days are numbered. So what he's saying to these people in the church is not something that he made up. The people who died gave their lives for this reality. It is not some fake things that they made up. Oh, we will die, we will believe in this, but they cost them their lives. It is the love that God has shown you and I. And that's it matters because of what Jesus has done, we now stand uncondemned. We stand righteous, blameless before the holy God. And here's the thing. The eternal life is about Jesus. Here's the last thing we see. Can you go to the next slide, please? Skip that one. Yeah. Keep going. Here's the last thing. Eternal life is not about the length. It's not only about the length, but about the quality of life. I think here we see that eternal life is not just about how long we live. Because here, when we think of eternal life, we think like eternity is like, oh, it's a long time. And we think if we live a long time, that's a good thing. But let me ask you a question. What if you live eternity with someone you hate? That would not be a good time for eternity. Like, think of the person that annoys you the most. Don't say their name out loud, okay? Just in case it's me. But you get to live with that person for eternity. You see, eternity is only good if it's with the right person. Eternity is only good if it's the person that actually can satisfy you, that actually can give you unconditional love. That person can actually wipe away the tears that we were reading from the scripture earlier. That can actually wipe away all the pains that you've ever experienced. See, eternal life is not just about the length of time, but it is ultimately about the fullness of life. And here's the beauty about eternal life. You don't need to wait till heaven to experience the fullness of life. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said this. It is no accident why the same author wrote the gospel, but now also wrote the letter. He says this, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come, Jesus saying, I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. Have it to the full. And that abundant life does not happen until you die and then go to heaven. That abundant life happens the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ. How do I get that? How do I know that? Because in verse 3, John said, the reason why I need to proclaim to you the word of life, the reason why I need to proclaim to you about eternal life is because there's a reason that you circled the word so that. Verse 3, what you have seen, we've declared to you, so that, here's the reason, so that you may also have fellowship with us. But better than just having fellowship with John the Apostle and all the other believers is this, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You know why there's fullness of life right now? Because now you can have relationship, you can have fellowship with God the Father and His Son. And that ought to blow our mind. You know what fellowship is? I know we don't use that word. We don't gotta go. The only time we use the word fellowship is at church. We use it for a name of a fellowship. Or we really want to be spiritual. Let's fellowship together. Like, no one used that word. But it's actually a really deep and rich word. It means sharing in common the most important thing about your life. Is almost in the sense of marriage. There's a communion. There is a building together. There is a connecting together that's deeper than just on the outside, hanging out, getting a cup of tea, getting boba. But there is connection much deeper. And what John is saying, the reason why it's so important that you need to understand and experience eternal life is because when you know you have eternal life, you get to experience this relationship with God. God the Father, the one who was from the beginning, the one who is to the end, the one who is Alpha, the one who is Omega, the one who will wipe away your tear one day. That's the God that you get to believe in. That's the God only you believe in. You get to live with and engage with every single day, if you so choose. I'm trying to think of an example that actually we can connect with. Because after all, John has it easy. Jesus was right there. He could touch and hear him and connect with him. Like imagine, I don't know what celebrities you guys follow. I know some of you guys like BTS. I think they just won some awards and a Grammy, right? Some of you guys like some YouTube stars. Some of you like LeBron James, Steph Curry, whoever celebrity that you're after. Imagine you not only get a backstage pass with those people, which you would be like, yay! You live with them for the whole week at their house. How many of you like, sign me up? But here's the thing. See, we live with those people. We want to be with those people. That's what fellowship means. You got to spend the day, the week with them. You go in their house. You eat with them. You hang out with them. You shoot basketball with them. You sing with them on their YouTube video, for all I care. But you see, those people are not perfect. Nor would they last forever. Yeah, John said there is this God who is willing to reveal himself to you. And came down on earth, limit himself. So that now you get to have fellowship with him today. Right now. I mean, I don't know if you ever thought about how important, how crazy prayer is. If you want to, right now, you can close your eyes and pray to him. The God of the universe hears your prayer right now. If you want to know what God's heart is about, you can open up this book and read about his love for you. And I wonder how many times we said we want eternal life. We said we want God, but yet at the end of the day, we just don't really want to experience him as much as we say we do. I want to end on this story. A brother shared with me about his experience this past week. He was praying for some issues with his computer. And lo and behold, spent time and then God answered his prayer and fixed his computer. And it's not a big deal. But then as we were talking, I kind of shared with him, it's interesting how many of us want to experience God, but a lot of times we don't really want it that much. I said many of us have trouble, not just computer trouble. We have many trouble in our lives. And yet the ones who actually experience God actually take his word for real and pray to him and call out to this Almighty God who have died so that we can have fellowship, communion, with relationship with him. See, it's not the matter that God doesn't want us to experience him. John's point is this. He already laid the way for you to experience him. Do you want to experience him? He gave you his word. He gave you prayer. He gave you the body of Christ. How many of us actually want to experience this God? I love it when people say, God doesn't speak to me. He spoke a whole lot. Just open it up, any page. And that's what God wants for us today. That's what God is speaking through John to us, that we can have eternal life, but we can also experience eternal life right now when we have Christ in our lives. I want to encourage us to bow our head right now. One of the reasons why I put the communion at the end of our service today is that I think we can hear these things and many of us have heard of these things. But we can be extremely forgetful. I think it will be useful for us as we come before the Lord's table. And just take a moment to respond. To just those simple four verses of what God had done for you and I. The eternal life that God has for me. The eternal life that God has for us.